I started on evolutionary game theory, and I was in the middle of looking at this hawk dove game. Okay, so again, we're not quite up to dynamics, but we were just talking in terms of population, and then I again got myself into a bit of confusion. Because here in the payoffs, okay, and because I step one, I said, "Oh, let's find the net. There aren't any pure Nash equilibrium, but there are." Okay, and again, this is the bully stealing your lunch money problem, right? And if you're the bully and you get the lunch money every time, you have no incentive to change. And if you're the person who's getting bullied and your choice is to give him your money or to get beat up, I mean, you give him your money every time. Okay, so there are pure Nash equilibria for this game. Okay, so it turned out that it was not a case of me, you know, messing up the procedure. It was a thing that I'd forgotten a point. Okay, so the point is that there are pure Nash equilibria for this game, just in case you had an unfortunate experience and use, you know that that's a stable. Those things just keep going, right? Okay. Now, but the reason why those aren't relevant here is that just sort of the setup, right, is we have a population and we're pulling two members of this population at random. And so, you know, so it's not we have a population of hawks and a population of doves, but rather you have a population of birds and you're randomly pulling a hawk or a dove, and then you randomly pull a hawk and a dove again. And there the issue is that, you know, you can't just have one, fight. This is fight. You just can't have fight and yield, but sometimes you'll get yield versus yield, and sometimes you'll get fight versus fight. Okay, and so it's not evolution, you know, it's sort of in this thing where you have a population and you're saying what's the composition of the population. It's not symmetric. Okay, so the pure Nash equilibria are not symmetric. Okay, because you can't get to them just by pulling randomly from a single population. Okay, they exist, but they're not symmetric. And that was what was confusing me last time. Okay, so, but they exist, okay, and so that turned out when I went through that little thing and got Nash equilibria and I was so perturbed, it was, they're really there. Okay. So now let's look for the mixed Nash equilibrium. Okay, and it turns out the mixed Nash equilibrium is symmetric, and so it is the one that's a candidate for being evolutionarily stable. Okay, and so that's what we're going to do now is first we find it, then we check it for evolutionary stability. Okay, and so basically, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do it in general, like again, where we have in principle, two populations, but then see whether we find one that's a stable solution. Okay, and so again, you get these directly from the matrix. Okay, so x1 is equal to the probability. So again, now, and I have verified that if you don't do it this way and just do it explicitly with one population, you don't get the right answer. So this is somehow. You have to sort of like assume it's two different populations in equilibrium with each other to do the minimization. Okay. And I think now that I understand that, now I see why they tend to do it using this fundamental theorem of mixed Nash equilibrium. Okay. Because the steps are you can't explicitly assume one population until the end of the calculation. Okay. Okay. And in some sense, it's because you're looking at an additional guy. You know, in the presence of everybody else. Okay, so that additional guy isn't changing the fractions himself, but you're comparing his fitness in the presence of sort of a background population. Okay, so the rule that if you want to do it this way, you have to do, you know, you have to assume x1 equals the probability that first player fights. And then x2 is the probability that the second player fights. Okay. Okay, so again, when you do the minimization, you can't assume those probabilities are equal right away, because again, you're looking at stability when you change one and not the other. Okay, so now we look at the fitness, and so it's a fitness of player one, but again, there, okay, so this is minus one, which comes from the matrix, and then this is the probability that they're both fighting, okay? Then there is four, I'll put it down here, plus four, and the four comes from here, and that's again, this is the payoff to the first player, and the probability that the first player fights and the second player yields is x1 times 1 minus x2. And then you have 0 for this payoff, and so we don't worry about it because 0 times anything is 0. And then we have 2 times 1 minus x1, 1 minus x2. Okay, so that's the payoff to the first player. And then you just simplify it, and you get minus 3x1, x2. Minus 3x1, x2, plus 2x1, minus 2x2, plus 2. Okay, and then you do exactly the same calculation for the second player. And you get minus 3x1, x2. Minus 2x1 plus 2x2 plus 2. Okay, and so again, what we've done is we're just playing the Hawk-Dove game where, in principle, you have two different populations. And then finding a Nash equilibrium. And then you do that by saying du1, dx1 is equal to 0. And that minimization is minus 3x2 plus 2 is equal to 0, which means x2 is equal to 2 thirds, and then du2, dx2 is equal to 0 implies x1 is equal to 2 thirds. Okay, so this is a symmetric Nash equilibrium, but again, you do it in general and you see whether or not the equilibrium is symmetric. So it's a candidate, okay? So mixed Nash equilibrium is equal to, you know, two-thirds. Okay, so, and again, if you have an evolutionarily stable state, it has to be a Nash equilibrium, but then there are additional conditions. Okay, so now what we have to do is check it and see whether it's stable to invasion by mutants. Okay, so now check, is it an evolutionarily stable state. Okay, so, okay. Now, it's a mixed Nash equilibrium, and so we know already that if you change the strategy, okay, between x, between the Hucks and the Govs, so if you change the, so if you imagine having this big population, and then you have like a little subpopulation with slightly different proportions, that the fitness of that subpopulation playing against the main population is sort of independent of the fraction of Hucks and Doves in it. Okay, and it's a little hard to see for this example, but it's really easy to see in rock, paper, scissors, right? That if you're playing the Nash equilibrium strategy, you know, rock, paper, scissors with equal probability, it doesn't matter what the other person plays. Like, you know, because let's say they play rock all the time, right? Well, then you're playing rock a third of the time, paper a third of the time, scissors a third of the time, and you get payoff of 0, right? So any strategy played against the Nash equilibrium strategy gives the same payoff, okay? And it's just sort of any strategy which has, you know, support in the pure strategies has the same payoff. So the thing is, you know, so basically, again, any mixed strategy, and that's a general statement. That's the content of the fundamental theorem of Nash equilibrium, any mixed strategy played against, okay, and we'll call this thing S star, okay, played against S star, okay, and here, and again, now we're using the fact that, you know, it's a linear combination of all possible strategies, okay, so it means any strategy played against SR gives the same payoff, okay, and so the question is, you know, in terms of whether you're stable to the mutants, is how well do you do playing against the mutants, Okay, so the point is, so the relevant question is, so, you know, let's say we have some other strategy. What did I call it? I called it Y, okay, because basically this S star I described in terms of X, okay? So given a Y not equal to X, the stability depends on what happens when you play Y. When you play against Y. Okay, so is that, is and it'll sort of come out in the math, but is it sort of clear what's going on? That, you know, so you say, again, you have some giant population of birds, and now we're looking at a little subpopulation with, you know, possibly a different fraction of hawks and doves, right? And so we're going to change the fraction a little bit. We want to know, is, you know, are you stable to invasion, you know, to changing the fractions? And again, by just the nature of Nash equilibria, it's not determined by, of mixed state Nash equilibria, it's not determined by what happens, like the fitness of these guys playing against the bulk, but rather what happens when you play against yourself. Okay? And again, that's quite general, okay, and which is completely non-intuitive, but quite general, okay? But I'm going to calculate the fitness, and you'll see it's really true. Okay. And again, that's why we do all these stupid 2x2 examples, is that a lot of the stuff is sort of non-intuitive, so it's very handy to actually work it out explicitly and see that it's really true. Okay, so so again, what we want to do is we we're given X, okay, and we just calculated that X is a third, okay, and again, that's the only mixed state Nash equilibrium for the system, okay, and now we're going to look at some other fraction of fighters called Y. Yeah.
Two-thirds.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the, and here's sort of, well, okay. So first of all, there's, let's play Y against Y. And again, the fitnesses are going to be the same because it's symmetric. So let's calculate, again, this Y against Y. Oh, and I very cleverly erased the payoffs. U1 x1 x2 is equal to minus 3 x1 x2 plus 2 x1 minus 2 x2 plus 2. It's a 2. Okay, and U2 x1 x2 minus 3 x1 x2 minus 2 x1 plus 2 x2 plus 2. Okay, so what we do here is we just say let x1 equal y and let x2 equal y, and you plug in and you get is equal to minus 3, just looking at this thing, y squared, y is equal to y, and so those go away, plus 2. Okay, so that's the payoff when y plays against itself, okay, because they're both the same. Okay, now I'm going to look at... there's a typo here. Okay, but that's all right. Oh, no, it's not a typo. Incredible. This is correct. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Y against the equilibrium strategy. Okay, so I'm playing Y against the Nash equilibrium. And now, again, I didn't put this in the notes, but you can do two things, okay? So I'm gonna compute both U1 and U2, okay? Okay, so again, it's the fitness of the Y guys when Y is playing against equilibrium. And remember I've been saying, like, time and again, oh, if you compute it, it's going to be the same for all Y. So let's see if that's really true, okay? So let's see, U1, if this isn't true, I'll be very upset, okay, is equal to minus 3... Y times x2 is two-thirds, plus 2y, okay, minus 4-thirds, plus 2, right? What the hell is this? What is that? That's a U. And this is supposed to be an equals here, which I forgot. Thank you. All right, so again, so then this is minus 2y plus 2y minus 4/3 plus 2, which, astoundingly enough, if you know me, is independent of y. So as promised, and it's, again, guaranteed by the fundamental theorem of mixed state Nash equilibrium, it's the stability is if you put in a new invade, if you invade with a new kind of genome, or if you change, if you ask about the fitness of a new proportion, it's all the same, because that's just the way mixed state Nash equilibria are. Okay, so this just shows you I haven't screwed up the algebra yet. Okay, so now, but that's not what I needed to know. What I needed to know, okay, so let me put that in, is equal to 2/3 independent of y, as expected. Okay, and it's not just that we expected it, but if it wasn't true, we'd be in big trouble. Is there a problem? Minus 4/3 plus 2, 6/3, that's how I got 2/3. Okay. All right. And again, you have no guarantee that it's really 2/3. Okay, but hopefully the method is clear. Okay? So I'm going to erase. I'll just leave it. Okay, so but that was just sort of a sidelight, because I kept promising you that was true. But now I can compute U2 for, now that means, like, now what I'm looking at is the fitness of the host population when I've changed, playing against Y. Okay, so that is, this one I know is correct, so I won't do the algebra, because the only thing that could happen is I would put in the algebra and it would be wrong, and then you would not believe me. Okay, so that's the, this is 4/3. Okay, and so now we just want to see what the difference is. So is it better to be the host in the presence of the mutant, or is it better to be the mutant in the presence of the mutant? And so we just subtract them. U2 of y and 2/3 minus U2 of y and y. And then we say, okay, well, it's this thing, minus 4y plus 4/3 plus 2 minus 3y squared plus 2. This is why I didn't put the 2 in, because it just goes away. And so then this is equal to 4y plus 4/3 plus 3y squared, and that is equal to 1/3. 2 minus 3y squared. And since this is a squared, this is always greater than or equal to 0. Okay, so this particular game, the mixed state Nash equilibrium is evolutionarily stable. Okay, so then again, the procedure is the same. You find the Nash equilibrium, then you check it for stability. Okay, and sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't, and if it is, then you found the an evolutionarily stable state. Okay, and so again, what we did here is we still haven't put any dynamics on, right? We just said, are you stable to invasion? So it was just like when we had the fixed point, right? We say, oh, here we have a fixed point, and you can compute the fixed point without actually iterating the map, because you just set, f of x, f to some power of x equals x, all right? And you solve that equation without, it's not a direct simulation. You just solve the equation, and then you say, but will you see it? And you do that by checking stability. So it's the same way, okay? And again, it's a little odd, because when we were doing the first week, we started with the dynamical rule, and then we got into the stability of the fixed points. Here, we started with the equilibrium states, and then we're checking their stability without dynamics, okay? And now is when we put on the dynamics, okay? And again, this is what Maynard Smith did, where he sort of realized that there's a very natural dynamics that you can construct that if it does reach equilibrium, will it's evolutionarily stable, because again it has this they're models that describe the evolution of a population, and second of all, it doesn't require
a model of rational thought, right? You know, it's sort of a mechanism that can get you to equilibrium that is just sort of a dynamical rule like we're used to seeing. Okay, so that's the point here, is that the it takes game theory, which is sort of this odd mixture of, you know, local optimization and, you know, competition, whatever, and it turns it, actually puts it into the category of dynamical systems. So that's why it's a legitimate thing to cover in a course on dynamical systems. Okay, and so this was, you know, so this sort of and again, it made it possible to have intuition about the process, right? You know, because if it was just this pure thought thing, you know, it's just very hard to have intuition. Whereas having a real dynamical rule that corresponds to a physical process means that you now have some intuition about what's going on. Okay, and so there's more than one kind of dynamics you can put on, but they're all sort of variations on this, and this is sort of the standard thing, the simplest thing you can do. So that's what I'm going to tell you about. And this is called replicator dynamics, okay? And replicator is just, you know, you got little organisms and they replicate. Okay. So the idea is we have a large but finite, okay, and it's finite only so that we don't worry about infinite limits. You know, so we're just going to follow noses. But large but finite population, okay. All right, each is programmed to have one of k pure strategies. Okay, and then with payoff function u. Okay. Okay, so again, it's a case where we just got this beaker and it's filled with microorganisms, and there's just one population, and there's only one. When you pull a guy out who has a strategy, you pull another guy who has a strategy, they're completely random, and then they play against each other, and it's not, there's no sex in this model. It's basically they play the game, and if one is more, so imagine there's sort of like a little bit of food, and the one guy is, you know, better able to digest it than the other guy, and so he's more fit, and he reproduces more. Okay, and the fitness function is you. Okay, okay. So and now I'm following pretty closely Weibull's book. Again, it's in the notes, and he has this sort of awful notation where pi of t is equal to the number of individuals. P is for population, you know, which just bugs me no end, because up until now, every time I had a P, it was a probability, okay? But he uses X for probability and P for population, okay? So, I went through trying to change from P's to N's, but then, you know, that was really bad in terms of, you know, typos. So, I decided I'm just going to, you know, since I'm, you know, again, I go through the things myself, but then I check that they're correct by looking at his formulas, and then what happens is that, and P's were cropping in, and so I'm just going to tell you that I'm changing the notation now, and this is going to be a population, okay? Is P is the number of players programmed to strategy I. Okay, and P of T is the total population. Okay, obviously it has to be less bigger than zero. And then the population state, okay, is, you know, either you can specify all the p's, p1, p2, you can have a vector of p's, where, again, this is the number of different kinds of strategies you're allowed in, you know, number of different strategies. So this is, I guess, okay, k, this is k. Okay, but then you can also just say, well, it's actually equal to p of t. All these things are varying in time, obviously. I can do this. Okay, p of t times, then this is x1. Okay, and again, in the book, what should happen is that this should be p of t times vector x. Okay, but it's just going to be called x. Okay, and again, just because he didn't feel like putting vectors on x's. Okay, All right. And so then you say, okay, xi of t is equal to pi of t divided by p of t. Okay, so that's the definition of the fractions. Okay, and again, in this picture, all the organisms have to pick one strategy or another, and what you're looking at are fractions of the population. But it turns out that you could make it more general where they all have a strategy, and because everything is linear, it doesn't, you know, it all comes out the same. But let's just think about it this way, because that's okay. Okay, so, and now, so far we haven't done anything. Okay, we just defined what x and p are. Okay, and we then have to define the payoff. Okay. Okay, and the payoff function, payoff for the population in which a fraction xi of the players play strategy I, EI. Okay, so again, this is E is going to be the pure strategy notation. So it's a pure strategy, the ith pure strategy is, okay, U. Okay, and now again, we're pulling that out of the population. So again, we have the situation where, you know, the population is playing, you know, one guy from the population is playing from another guy from the population. But again, we're assuming these payoffs are, you know, linear in the usual way. And so then this is equal to I equals 1 to k x I u b I x. Okay, so at this point, you know, it looks exactly like what we did before. Okay, so all we did is we took everything we did with games and we said, okay, but now they're populations, all right? Populations with a payoff. Okay, and now the assumption, okay, is that, and actually I'll just write the equation. Okay, so assume that, well, let's just say we have this thing where you have all these subpopulations. And so you say the birth rate of subpopulation I at time t is equal to u of ei x of t plus beta. Okay, so beta is just some background birth rate that's the same for everybody. Okay, but then again, there's this thing that, well, if you play the game, then, you know, I don't know, you're healthier, and therefore you'll reproduce faster. Okay, so there's an overall birth rate, and then there's an increment to the birth rate that depends on your fitness. All right, and then there's a death rate, which is equal delta, which is the same for all the populations. Okay, so what you do then is then you just say, okay, then you assume that the change in the population at time t is equal to, and again, okay, so basically the number of deaths is proportional to the total population, and the number of births is proportional to the total population, because it's like everybody reproduces at some rate. So it's just equal to beta plus u ei x minus delta pi of t. Okay, so here's, at a time t, you have this population, and there's a rate at which you get more, and there's a rate at which they die off, and there you go. Okay? And at this point, things look extremely unpromising in the sense that, well, you don't know the overall birth rate, and you don't know the overall death rate, and that's just really, you know, just seems like, it's just sort of unfortunate, right? Because there are all these parameters you don't know, and it looks like everything depends on things that you don't know and moreover don't care about. But if you then take that equation and turn it into an equation for the change of the fractions, it turns out that the beta and the delta just drop out. So the only thing that comes into the changes of the relative fractions are the relative fitnesses. Okay? And so I will derive it because, again, this is somehow like, this is just the defining equation of replicator dynamics, and everything else is just sort of, So I'm going to go through this because once you realize that, because this is all very plausible, and you're like, well, this is, so simple. How could it possibly be any way else? It could possibly be any way else. I mean, you could put in lots of things to make it a more evolutionarily reasonable thing, but it's very natural. Okay, and so then the fact that you get something that only depends on the game is sort of not entirely obvious when you start. Okay, so this, just by definition, is equal to 1 over p of t times pi of t, right? And I have a, I want to put it this way. Okay, so what I'm going to do is you have, again, x of t is equal to pi of t divided by p of t. Okay, yes, okay. And so now this is there are two parts to the derivative, okay? Let me just write this, because, again, I did check these pretty carefully, so I'm pretty sure these are right. So I've got beta plus u ei of x, okay, minus delta for death, okay, xi of p. Okay, so what happened, so what I'm doing is I'm taking, let me do it this way, p of t, x of t is equal to pi of t. Okay, so now I'm taking the derivative of both sides, okay, of p of t, x of t is equal to dpi dt. Okay, and what I've got here is a formula for d by dt of pi of t, and then p of t is just the sum of the derivatives of pi of t, and then so then you're left with the derivative of xi of t when you do this, okay? And so it turns out that, so this is the term that comes from d by dt of p of t, okay? But now there's another term which comes from the dp dt, and when you work on that and put it up here, you get beta plus u ej of x minus delta xi p, okay? So again, this term came from dpi dt. This term comes from dp dt, and then you just, work on it. Okay, and so then when you simplify, you get d by dt of xi of t is equal to xi beta plus u ei x. Okay, so again, the fitness of the ice pure strategy minus sum over j beta plus u ej x minus delta times xj. Okay, and now this I think should not be there. Sorry. Okay. And otherwise, it's not linear in the x's. Okay, sorry. So that's a typo in the notes I have to fix. Okay, and so now you use the fact here that the sum over xj is equal to 1. Okay. Xi. Oh, right, yeah. The sum over xj is equal to 1. So the beta minus delta times xj summed over j is then equal to beta minus delta, and that cancels. This has to be this way. This has to be correct as it is. Okay. All right. The notes are okay. So they just cancel. Okay. So that's thing number one. And then the other thing is here you have the sum over j of u of ej x xj, and that's just by definition. So uxx. That's how you define the fitness of the population. So what you've got is dxi dt is then equal to u eix minus u xx xi. Okay, so, and this is a very natural equation. What it says is I have a fraction I, you know, I have a subpopulation with fraction I, xi, and if the fitness is bigger than the fitness of the population of the subpopulation playing against the total population is bigger than of the population playing against itself, then the fraction of that strategy increases. Okay, so it's very natural. Okay, but again, it follows from it's sort of very plausible and natural. But it follows from very plausible and natural dynamics also, and so that's part of the reasons why it's sort of nice. But then the other thing is, you see, it depends only on the game parameters, right? It's just d by dt is equal to things that only depend on the payoffs to the games, and so therefore it's sort of a very natural way to put dynamics onto the system. Okay. Okay, and so again, the key is that independent of beta and delta. Okay, so sort of the overall birth and death rate of the population just don't enter at all into the replicator dynamics, and so there are no extra things that you have to add. Now, there's one other thing you can do to make it even simpler, to have a shorter formula. And again, remember the U here. Here we used explicitly U is linear in the first argument, but use also linear in the second argument. Remember, it's just a matrix times things. So again, just to remind you, it's also equal to, we can say I equals 1 to k, j equals 1 to k, x I x j, u e I e j. Okay. So again, this is the sense in which u is bilinear. Okay. So again, sort of. Your payoff, the original thing was just these matrices of payoffs, which just had numbers in them, right? And then you say, okay, well, but there's a fraction of the first players who have whatever strategy, and there's a fraction of the second players who have their strategies, and we're assuming everything's random, and so just the probability that player one plays strategy I and player two plays strategy J is just the product of the x's. Okay, so this is a bilinear thing. So using that, you can simplify it one more step, and you can write it as it's linear in this first, or everything's linear in the first argument, so it's EI minus X, X, XI. Okay, and again, so, and it's sort of odd, right, because here you have, one strategy minus everything, and you have to remember everything is vectors, but it's all good. Okay, so, so that's the replicator dynamics. And again, one thing which is very nice and very general about replicator dynamics is you can look at relative changes in populations. Okay, so if I look at the ratio of two fractions, all right, using replicator dynamics, all right, this is sort of a side note. But again, this is just sort of saying replicator dynamics do. Are very plausible. Okay. Okay. So, all right. So all I did here is I'm looking at the ratio of the fraction of population of the subpopulation I to the subpopulation J. Then I use the formula for taking derivatives of a quotient. Okay, and then this, now I just plug in, for xi dot and xj dot, and this is equal to u, and then simplify, but it's not hard, and so I'll just do it u, ej, x. Okay, so again, taking the quotients is very, very nice, because here you can see explicitly, right, if you have two subpopulations, right, and and one has higher fitness than the other playing against the strategy that you're at, the mixture of strategies that's in the population at present, then the fraction of the population that is more fit will increase. Okay, either that ratio goes up or down depending on which one is more fit. So that's sort of a very handy that's a very handy property and very intuitively obvious. Okay. So so the next thing is that I was going to do is actually do the symmetric 2x2 games, all right? And and now finally, again, I'm doing things in sort of a funny order because I mean, typically in the books, they do like everything I did for the Nash equilibrium, they do for the 2x2 games. And then they introduce, you know, evolutionary stability, and then they check the evolutionary stability of all the 2x2 games, and then they put on the replicator dynamics, and then they, and, okay, so what I'm doing is I'm now going to do the classification of the 2x2 games, the symmetric 2x2 games now, but instead of doing it three times, I'm just doing it once, right? So, okay, and so, and you'll see that they're really, there aren't that many 2x2 games, okay? So all the definitions clearly are quite general, okay? But the classification of the games, it becomes rapidly more complicated as you go to more more strategies and more players. And again, I'm not going to get to it since I'm leaving tomorrow, but you know, but the idea of like this is how you do it is like perfectly well illustrated on these simple games, but this thing that I've been talking about that I won't go into any detail of, oh, but if you think about adding more players and more strategy, things get really complicated really quickly, and that's actually an interesting question I'm not going to do, but you know, you can trust me. Okay,
so here, yeah, we've thrown out the idea that the payoff function, all that matters is the relative ordering. So that something that's four times as good is somehow quantitatively different than something that's twice as good, because now we've got the...
Yeah, okay, well, what you'll see is you'll see what happens is the dynamics, then it actually turns into a dynamical systems problem. Okay, because I mean all of the thing on the game theory and interpretation and whatnot was something else, but at this point I have a dynamical equation, right? I have my U's and they're just given. And then I say, well, you give me the U's, and I give you a rule for the dynamical evolution of the X's. Okay, so up until this point, we didn't ask how did you get to where you were. Again, it was all done in von Neumann's picture by pure thought. So you say, well, we hit this equilibrium where this is the best strategy. Okay, but now you can ask the question of, oh, but how long does it take to get there? Or, you know, do we get there? Okay. And the dynamical questions depend on the actual numerical values of how long it takes to get there. And actually, you'll see, you can map one dynamics into another dynamics. But then at the fixed point, you know, at the end of the dynamics, again, you reach a point where qualitatively it doesn't depend on any of the numerical values. Okay, but the question of what does the transient look like does depend on the numerical values. You see what I'm saying? So, and it's really clear for the 2x2, right? Because it turns out now you will see there are only three categories of the games, okay? And, you know, and again, if you're in category one, it's always the same. And if you're in category two, they're always the same. It's up to, you know, exactly what the dynamical evolution is different, okay? So, so again, what you have when you have a symmetric 2x2 game, okay? So in this one, In this interpretation, okay, of the replicator dynamics, again, you're only looking at symmetric games because we're just sort of pulling two organisms out of a population, right? And so, you know, everybody has the same payoffs. It's like, you know, either, you know, they all are assumed that, you know, whatever response to stimuli, their fitness is the same given the response, okay? So they're symmetric, and that's just a statement that, you know, I've just, you know, have a set of organisms, and they have either, you know, column A or column B. There's only one thing that's different among the subsets. And then but the fitness is, you know, measured by their reproduction rate. You see what I mean? Because that's what we did, right? We said, okay, well, the fitness is the reproduction rate. So we're just saying, okay, probably the best one to think about in terms of being biologically whatever is there's sort of a prion thing that could happen or whatever. But there's some internal switch that could go on, right? And if the switch is on, it has one strategy. And if the switch is off, it goes into another strategy. Like, there are these bacteria that, you know, can switch between aerobic and anaerobic, say, okay, and depending on the environment, one is better, the other is better, and it depends on what the other ones are doing, and, you know, et cetera. Okay, so, but it's the same population, and again, since U is just how fast you reproduce, they all have the same fitness function, okay? So, so it's a symmetric 2x2 game. All right, and so the payoff matrix then, and again, we only have to worry about one payoff matrix because everybody has the same payoff matrix. That's the point. They all respond in the same way. And it's a 2x2. Everybody has two strategies, and you know, and it only depends on two of them fighting for whatever they're fighting about. And okay. And here is the general matrix, okay? Now this is directly relevant to your question. You say, well, okay. So the one thing you can look at is you look at this thing, and it's clear we can just subtract a constant from the U's. And it will have no effect whatsoever, right? Because you take this one, and everything is linear. And so we can definitely look at this. I mean, this goes without saying. A1, 1, 0, A2, 1, A2, 2. So I guess what I'm going to do is I'll put tildes on these and call these things primes. Okay? So clearly, I can do this. Okay? All right, so then in the next step, actually you say, well, but actually you can do more than that. Because the only thing that matters are the relative payoffs. Okay, so the point is that, if the other player chooses strategy one, or we'll say plays, that's not how you spell play. Strategy one. Okay. My choice depends only on the difference A11 minus A12. Okay? And so again, if the other player plays strategy two, then my choice depends, okay, and then if the other player plays two, my choice depends only on A21 minus A22. Okay, so the fact that I can set one of these things to zero is like entirely trivial, but it's actually, there's more than that. I can set, there are two choices, because again, my options faced with strategy two depend only on the difference of the payoffs for my strategies. Okay, it depends only on the difference, and so what happens is that you can then you can simplify it even more. Okay. Okay, in terms of what's relatively, in terms of what's good, I mean, it turns out that you can then take this, and you can do the same thing again. Okay, and so then this actually you can turn into a diagonal matrix. Okay, 0, 0, where A1 is equal to A11 minus A21, and A2 is equal to is that right? Yeah, A22. A22 minus A12. Okay, so these are called affine transformations. Okay, but again, it just sort of follows from the linearity and the linearity of the payoffs in the dynamics, because the dynamical equation depends only on differences in the payoffs are multilinear. Okay, so now you do this, and then at this point, once you realize that actually the presence of off-diagonal terms
Your indices are right there, because what you've written on the left and the bottom for A11 minus A12 is different from...
That is true. And similarly, that's a good... Well, let's see if we can figure it out. Okay. So player two, one of these is correct. So I have a 50% chance of, there's 100% that one of the two is correct. Okay. All right, so player two played this one, and then you say, so it's A. So what happens here, whether I choose this or this, depends on A11 minus A21. This is the one that's not correct. Again, you know, you see what I'm saying? That, you know, a player two picks something, then I could either play this one and have this payoff, or this one and have this payoff. Okay? So this is what's incorrect. All right. So this is correct. All right? Okay. And so now the point is that actually you can see at this point that if A1 is bigger than A2, then, you know, you're going to end up here. And if A2 is bigger than A1, you're going to end up here. And that's all true. But it turns out that the, this now finally answers your open set thing, where if A1 and A2 are zero, then the whole thing's completely degenerate. So everything's an open set in that sense that, you know, there's a region where A1 is bigger than A2. But it turns out the behavior is different, because again, that was the whole point of going through all these games with, you know, sort of thinking about them in terms of these, you know, the hawks and the doves and the coin flipping and all of this stuff, is you know that the games aren't all the same, even though when you diagonalize them, you just say, well, yeah. It turns out the behavior depends on whether A1 and A2 have the same sign or not. So you get a change in the dynamics depending on whether A1 or A2 is bigger than 0, A1, A2 are less than 0, or are the classifications. Okay. So it turns out that that's the main thing. Now, there's one thing I'm going to just write the equation, because I want to make one more point before I stop today. And that is, you can then take this matrix, okay, and I'll do this next time, but I want to make a point before I stop. You take this matrix and you write down the replicator dynamics for this equation, and then what you get is an equation of motion for x1, okay, a1, x1, and it's like this, okay? And again, this equation is quite simple, okay? All right, but, okay, the thing that you see is that I did this thing where everything was linear, right? I started with this, you know, population model where just some growth rate, and the u for the growth rate is a constant if my strategy is known, and things are linear, you know, multilinear in the strategies. But in the end, you get nonlinear equations out. So even though everything was absolutely the simplest thing you could possibly imagine, at the end of the day, the equations are quite nonlinear, okay? But there's a lot of linearity that enables you to make a lot of progress, but, you know, it's by no means a linear dynamical system. And so here again, we're doing the absolute simplest case, and at the end you get something that is nonlinear in the x's, and your evolution equation is for the x's. And so that's why non-trivial things can happen. Okay, but I'll do that, and then I'll do a little bit more, and then I'll stop. Are there any questions? Okay.
Okay, if there are no questions, so let me teach you the last homework that will the problem is optional for some of you, because you should return only two homeworks out of three, but I decided to do it now, because this homework does not require any numerical computation. So if you are happier with analytical computations rather than numerical, then this homework is definitely for you. So, but this homework is related to the material that was discussed today and probably tomorrow. It says write the equations for replicating dynamics.
Well, that's right.
So simply write rather than but not solve.
Right, I only have to write them.
So, okay, who is homework three? Please?
Yeah. So if you wanted to solve them, then then you would need a computer to solve it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an analytic homework. It's only writing. Okay.
Remember how hard we all worked on the okay.